Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Chonya. Chon from Mad Men.
Chonya.
Chon from Mad Men. It's one of its nicknames.
Like Joan?
Mm-hmm.
Chon.
It started as Chorizo, then Chori, then Chonya, then Chon from Mad Men.
Chonya is my favorite.
But Chon from Mad Men, it's not just Chon, it's you have to say the whole thing. Chon from Mad Men.
Is that Christina Hendricks' character?
Mm-hmm.
Love her in that show.
Yeah, she's like Hanika.
I need to rewatch that.
I know, I can't believe I watched all of Mad Men in 2019. It feels like a fever dream.
That was like the first show I like binged on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'd never seen it, and I went back when everyone, like 2 years after it had ended, and I watched the whole thing in like 2 months.
So good.
And I was in, this was when I was in New York, and I would
when
leave.
When I was a native New Yorker.
When I was in, I was listening to that today.
When are you not listening to that song?
I feel like it's in a New Yorker.
Constant rotation on your playlist.
I should have put that on the New York show playlist.
Oh yeah.
But
we'll be back and we'll do it again.
But I used to like leave places to, I gotta go watch Mad Men. Mad Men helped me stay sober for like 2 months.
Really?
No, it didn't. Oh. But like, it would cut.
I was like, that seems like actually a very triggering show.
No, it would, but it would like cut. I'd be like, if I was out, I'd be like, you know what?
Gotta go watch
MM.
Double M, M so squared.
It kind of helped me stay out of trouble for 2 months.
I love that.
But I have to return to it. He loves Chon.
Chon from Mad Men. Chornia. You are crazy.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. I did like some holiday parties.
Yeah, same.
And they were fun.
I went to one on Saturday that was so crazy.
Yeah, what was that one? It had like porta potty or like honey wagons. I was like, he's at a legit event.
It had like that curtain, mm-hmm. like silhouette dancers. My two friends
looked sexy.
A married couple. They're amazing. And they have this awesome house. And they had this pretty crazy party that I knew it was gonna be over the top because they're like really chic and
mm-hmm.
that's them, very them, but I didn't realize just how special it was. When I walked in, I was like, oh shit. And everyone, and I kind of missed the memo on the attire,
but you were wearing like a sick top.
Yeah,
I was wearing this like shredded top that you were wearing.
Oh, it's Simon's Adidas. He has like this cool like jacket that looks like almost feathery.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Simon has all
You know what's
clothes.
Hard is it's so cold outside.
Also, we're getting there's a blizzard coming to California tomorrow. Did you know that?
Oh yeah, it's rain.
I know, but like up north, it's blizzard conditions, and then it's gonna be 43 and rainy here tomorrow.
It's soup time.
It's time for soup.
I'm gonna go hit Erewhon.
You're gonna go to get
I'm gonna
an Italian.
Raid the soup wall at Erewhon. It's truly my safe place. If you need me, you can find me in the soup corner.
You need to get an Italian wedding, a pint of mm-hmm. Italian wedding soup,
mm-hmm.
and just take it back.
And then just really coze up at mm-hmm. home. I love, it's like the one rainy day we're going to get for months.
Well, but it's been kind of unusually cold.
It's cold at night.
Like the other night I was freezing and they had heat lamps, but I was very, very cold.
No, at both of these holiday parties it was like frigid.
Were you out? Were you like rocking around the Christmas tree?
No, I rocked till a sensible hour of like 11:30 or nice. So, and then rocked on home to take the hottest shower of my life. And then...
Someone messaged me the other day, snatch for life. Or no, the Peloton snatch back.
The Peloton does snatch back. Oh, we should talk about that Peloton commercial.
That was hell.
I kind of liked it. Do you think that they like held everyone on the Sex and the City writer's room and producers and cast at gunpoint? And they said, if you don't give us Chris Noss to do this commercial,
we will
fucking pull the trigger and we will end Sex and the City once and for all. Big won't be the only one dead, they said. I feel like that's what happened.
They got him like in the last week to shoot this ad that somehow Ryan Reynolds is involved with.
Of course he is.
Why is he always everywhere?
Why do people love him so much?
I mean, I think he's fucking hot.
He's really hot, but I'm just like...
he has kind of a gay voice, which I like.
Yeah, he is actually hot.
But I don't
I'm
like...
I'm just jealous. I'm a jealous hater.
No, but I can't stand him and Blake. That couples who like...
they're tee-hee coupledom.
Teasing
really,
each other.
It irks me.
Being like my best bud.
Ribbing each other.
Yeah. Going like this.
But also
this
I'm sure they're like very in love.
Oh, I think they're completely in love and fuck all the time. Because why wouldn't...
Because they have a lot of kids too.
Yeah, they have like 8 girls. Blake Lively only produces ladies.
Only women.
But...
And maybe one gay who will bake.
Yeah.
A baking gay.
A bake gay. And will draw on her... Remember when she drew on her strappy shoes? On her voting voting ad last year? She was like barefoot and she drew on shoes.
Yeah.
That was
okay. Like, love them, but they do bring out the jealous hater within.
Yeah, because they're
seemingly
so
happy.
Hot and happy and rich.
Yeah,
and, like they just like bake and fuck.
Sounds great.
And have like little girlies. Anyway, but this Chris Noth ad has been causing a stir on social, on the web, on the channels.
I'm just obsessed with the Sex and the City ripple effect. Of like, and this is merely the beginning of like how much runoff content is to come from this show.
Super Bowl ads.
Their power, they are more powerful than Joe Biden.
Shay will be in a Super Bowl ad talking about salsa and
talking about
cheeseburgers,
gender rolls and cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
All my favorite rolls.
Mm-hmm.
A literal line from their podcast.
What was that salsa ad that like Teresa Giudice and Caroline Manzo did?
Oh, isn't it like, it's the same salsa.
It's like a salsa that all the celebrities are hawking.
But it's a bad salsa.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? I don't like those kinds of salsas that come in jars that for some inexplicable reason you don't need. It's like not fresh, but can sit on a shelf for years. I don't like that kind of salsa.
Also,
I like a pico de gallo or just a fresh salsa that like has an expiration date.
The salsas, you have to peel that layer off.
That's disgusting. I do like a cheese sauce.
I like Chi-Chi's and like that old kind
of like
chunky salsa.
Velveeta and Rotel together.
Yeah. Some salsa is great, but yeah, the content that's coming out of...
It's like paste salsa or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever. We all know what it is.
Yeah.
Tostitos salsa.
Tostitos salsa.
Shit.
Just give it to me.
Yeah.
But the, yeah, you're right. Like the spinoff.
So there are going to be so many ads.
So the ad was like Bister Big, Bister Big,
Bister Big,
Bister Big, Bister Big. And the Peloton instructor, like he faked his death to run off with Allegra.
I like that. That was smart. Whoever wrote that, props to you.
They got a good bonus.
They did.
But it has like,
I'm sure he got paid like a mil for that.
Oh,
ad.
For sure. And she probably got a lot.
Yeah.
But. And probably got like extra because people are probably sending her death threats.
Enraged women and gays.
You know, there's probably people being like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah, totally.
People are crazy.
I'll bet they're. I need to get into like a subreddit Twitter thread. That's like where people are really letting their crazy come out these days.
Either in our Facebook group or the subreddit.
Our ex-Facebook group.
Our ex-Facebook group or the
or
subreddit.
Any sort of subreddit is truly the hub of mental illness. I was alerted to like an Ilaria Baldwin subreddit that's just women that are obsessed with taking Ilaria down. It's like
really?
Their number one
priority.
Goal in life. They're like, the IRS needs to investigate Ilaria Baldwin. And they're like, someone,
Why?
they just are.
The IRS?
They're anything, they want anything to happen to her. It's their whole life. And you have people in there that are commenting. They're like, everyone in my life is sick of me talking about Ilaria. So this is the only place I can do it. And I'm like, listen, honey, you need to listen to your loved
white
ones.
White women in a subreddit is...
They're starting. Women log on to get in their niche Facebook groups and their niche subreddits, and you hear vroom, 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 because they are starting.
Ilaria. I will take Ilaria down. I mean, Ilaria doesn't need to be like taken down. It was just funny to like make fun of her.
I know, but there people are truly activists,
yeah,
for taking down Ilaria. I mean,
the funny thing is Ilaria exists in the Just Like That universe. I know she does.
She must.
I've asked this question before, but I just want to know like what the other New York celebrities probably had group texts about her accent.
Everyone probably.
Right? Like SJP hangs out with them all the time, I think.
With Alec and Ilaria?
I think they're in that like world.
I mean, I guess they're like Hamptons people.
Yeah. Did like Lorne Michaels ever take to the group text and was like, what's up with Ilaria?
Yeah. Does he like clock it or does he care?
I mean, they probably don't care.
I don't know. I feel like no one really cares in that circle. They have like bigger fish to fry.
Except all of us. Who
yeah.
Don't
it's
have
a plebeian care.
Health insurance.
Yeah.
Hey, hi.
It's for the poors to care about.
Yeah. But I love it.
And I feel like every rich person has multiple friends that have fake accents and no one even blinks.
Yeah, folks.
It's just like it's a natural progression. Like once you get rich, you either maybe keep your shit together and are still kind of grounded and normal. You become completely untethered from reality and like no longer like connected to laws or just humanity or you get a fake accent.
I think I heard an accent this weekend at one of the parties. The way that someone enunciated something, I was like, oh.
There's always someone, always someone starting.
I love when people enunciate like kind of vaguely British. Did you go there?
Yeah, that's a thing that happens a lot.
I remember Meghan Markle, one slipped out of her when she was still the Duchess.
Oh, I'm sure. I feel like even there was a slip when she did her Oprah thing.
Yeah. Quite.
Just vague little hints.
But yeah, props to Peloton and Chris Noth.
Yeah, you guys are killing it. I literally have never wanted a Peloton more.
His Instagram is great.
Yeah, I love his life for him.
He just has like a cute little son.
A very cute son, hot wife, and he seems legitimately happy to be alive and be doing his thing.
He seems...
And he's hot.
He's fucking... He'll always be hot. I was looking at old photos of him with Carrie in the car in, like, season one.
Oh, yeah. That photo shoot that they did, I think it was for maybe Rolling Stone or Vanity Fair, where she's in her, like, Calvin Klein high-waisted underwears.
Underwears.
And they're just, like, in the shower and stuff. Yeah.
It's so cute.
Do you know I bought those underwear when I was a 20-something?
Really?
And they never looked that cute.
How old were you when it first came out?
Extreme diaper energy.
How old were you when it first came out?
Came out in 99 or 98. So I was...
Seven?
No. Oh, you. You are too fun.
You are too fun.
Let's
you were 15.
See. Yeah.
You're 84, right?
84.
Yeah, you and Simon are both 84.
Yeah. And then the last season, I was 19.
Wow.
I know.
I just remember, like, watching it, and my mom's, like, she would have it on, watching it in her room.
Ugh.
And I'd come in, and she would kind of put it on mute or something.
I would watch it with my chaotic stepmom.
Angie? Was she like, I'm a Carrie?
No, we just like watched it and laughed. I remember specifically watching the episode where Charlotte is like fantasizing about the gardener.
Oh yeah.
And that scene where he's like in roses I remember just like laying on my dad's bed with her and like watching HBO.
Was she smoking?
Probably.
Did she smoke inside?
Not in that house, but she'd smoke outside. We'd smoke outside together. Do you love me? I carried on like a literal 35-year-old when I was
listen
a young
when
person.
With Angie.
You're smoking.
Also, I wanted to talk about the Succession finale.
Ugh.
Because it actually very ties in somehow to Salt Lake City in some way.
I like where your galaxy brain is going.
Mary.
Continue.
I just was like blown away by that finale. It was not what I was expecting and so much better than what I was expecting.
This whole season, I feel like
Kendall's
has
not
been
dead.
Really low-key, but low-key genius.
Yeah.
In a way that... I think it was like I was just expecting more action. And so there was really nothing that happened this season, but it's all subtext. It's like Chekhov.
It's like, someone on Twitter said cell phone theater. I was reading a recap. Kendall, it's all about like cell phone acting. It's just them on cell phones.
Oh, yeah. Like conversations.
Yeah.
And it's like Chekhovian and Shakespearean and the ultimate tragedy.
But last night was pretty action packed.
Yeah. And it's also like just when you think you're kind of like sometimes I watch it or I get a little bit bored or something.
Yeah.
And just when I think that I'm like uninvested, they twist the knife
yep.
in such a way where you're like, holy shit, I've just been gut punched by like this final scene.
Yeah. And I think they probably anticipate that. Like half the stuff they're talking about, I'm like, I don't know what the business stuff.
Business jargon.
I'm just like, and I don't think it even matters. Mm-hmm. I think it's not really important exactly like the nitty gritty of the deals. I think it's just like the base reactions to them of like, I'm being fucked, like backed into a corner kind of shit that you understand. Cause like the merging and stuff, I'm like, I don't fucking know what they're talking about. Jargon, yeah. Gojo. Alexander Skarsgård wearing.
So fucking hot.
He is, but like such a psycho.
A crazy person.
Quoting Mark Zuckerberg being like.
But also like that fucking house.
I know.
I was just like, I want that house.
That's like your Italy dream. Sorry.
True Italian crumbling glamour where all the like wedding stuff was taking place. It's just like such a crumble, but also so like luxury. But then that house specifically, Skarsgård, I was just like, holy fucking shit. And I love that he's like, do you like it? I wanted the best of everything. And he's just bored with everything. I love when he's like, everything's boring.
Yeah.
That's like true wealth.
And just like, also like sociopath kind of.
Just, yeah. You might as well just be one because you can do anything and go anywhere you want. There's nothing that you cannot have or do.
And I think him and Logan.
They get each other. They're speaking the same language.
Because they're both like bored.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're both like crazy business at all costs.
And like just complete megalomaniacs.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I thought it was great. I thought the scene with the three siblings was beautiful when he was on the ground. I thought the scene with Connor was great. I love when Connor doms Kendall
mm-hmm.
by putting his forehead to him.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. He was like,
I love Connor.
Doing his older brother, the big brother thing. And that was like, he is the oldest.
Yeah.
When they were like, you know what we mean. He's like, no, I don't know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
And Willa, my queen.
Love
MVP
Willa.
Of my life in terms of watching Succession.
She's just everything to me.
Just her being like, you're a nice man. Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Let's do it.
We'll have fun.
We'll have fun.
I was like, you will have fun.
You will.
For a while.
And she does love him, I think. No.
I don't think so. I think she loves the lifestyle and the perks, but I think she probably finds him like deeply annoying.
I do love that she's been more and more like not taking shit from the siblings.
Mm-hmm. Because she's like in it now.
She's in it now. And like you have to like, but I love her like.
And like I love the way that they all just like barb each other just endlessly. And like when everyone gets into it. I like when Tom participates.
Connor,
they're all just like Barbie. So cunty to each other the whole time.
But that was a sweet. The way they opened it was kind of sweet with them playing board games.
Yeah,
and like Logan's reading.
And
to
when
the
Kendall comes in, and you're just like, I feel like we've all been there where there's just one like TBD in the mix.
Yeah. And also just like that feeling of like either having had or almost needing your stomach pumped and then just being like coming back from the dead.
And everyone's like, hey.
But
that was crazy.
But that was, that final scene was, I mean, if you think about it, Tom, by the way, spoilers, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, spoilers.
Who fucking cares? And Tom, like, there's all these tweets of like photos from the season, like screenshots. And he's always like, you see it in his face that he's planning this. He's been planning this like the whole time, I think, since.
Well, he's wanted to get close to Logan from literally episode one, like yeah. trying so hard to trying win so his favor. Hard.
And he ends up being the favorite son.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, and I don't blame him, like he tried to get Shiv to like love him and be open to love. And like he sought her out for comfort when he thought he was going to jail. She did not give him an inch.
No.
And when he wanted to make a baby, like it was like half, I think half calculated, but also genuine, because I think he does love her in yeah. some way.
I think he loves her and she loves him in a way, but not on the same level.
Well, but I also think that that last shot of her like staring, that face, by mm-hmm. the way, she should win an Emmy for that. But
love her.
I almost felt like it was her being crushed because she realized she does love Tom. And I think him hurting her made her realize that.
I think it probably also kind of turns her on a little bit, because he's so like, she's always the top in that relationship. And like, sometimes when it switches up in that way, I'm not saying like when your lover betrays you, it's great. But I think that that will make her either divorce him or respect him.
No, she can't divorce him now.
Oh yeah.
Cause he's,
maybe she'll respect him more and they'll have really hot sex. And now they don't have to have a baby because he's number one.
No, that's the whole thing, I think, is she has to stay with him now. And I think that's why she didn't immediately say, like, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I'm good. I think she's going to have to play along like she doesn't know it's him. She knew, though.
I mean, yeah. Everyone's just so calculated and having to, like, hold their shit together. But and it makes sense that Kendall, like, can't. He's like the most human one of all, because it just like breaks him as a person.
And he said, and I think he was being honest when he was like, I was trying to get you guys out, because
mm-hmm.
he like didn't want them to be like their dad.
Yeah. And he didn't want them to experience what he experienced at the hands of his father.
So I think if anything, the only people in that moment that aren't calculating are the siblings at the end, because it's like they're so broken and vulnerable and they literally only have each other now.
Yeah.
Which is great, but also
TBD.
TBD, because they're all kind of flops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that when they're driving over, like, it now thinking about it, like, that's so tragic when they were all like, we're going to do this. They thought they could get it.
They thought they could take him the fuck down.
No, and he always will win. He truly always will win. Yeah. And he never fails to just fucking infantilize them. Like, they are always going to be flop children.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like trying to shoot his load into
old bangs.
Who looks like Cindy Barshop.
She does.
From Real Housewives of New York.
Oh my God. Throwback.
So now he's
love her.
Me too.
I love Carrie. Yeah.
I love when Roman went up to her. What would you just say to Jerry? And she goes, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then Jerry, my queen. When Roman was like at his knees being like, mommy,
please. And she goes, how is that in my interest? Yikes.
And their mom sold them down the river.
Oh, that British bitch.
And I love when she goes, Peter's really excited. And then she goes, oh, I'm glad Peter's excited.
It's just so good. It's so good.
It is. It could honestly, if this show ended like that.
That would be a proper ending.
A proper series proper three. Ending,
yeah. But I think they're doing one more season.
But if it had ended just with that, series finale, I would be like, that's a perfect show.
Because
It is like, it's
a full circle
it
tragedy.
It did everything.
Yeah.
And it managed to bring the kids together and remind them that they truly love each other.
Well, let's hope that sticks, because nothing, it brings you together, but then can also subsequently just rip you the fuck apart again.
Also, I love them joking with Kendall about killing someone.
I love Roman turning everything into a joke.
But also him being like, well, you didn't kill him. The road did.
Like the road and the water. He goes, I mean, you're better than me. I would have been right out of there. Like, just gone away.
He did try to save him, right?
I can't remember. He did definitely kill him, though.
Mm-hmm. And then Shiv's on the phone being like, oh, yeah, it's all good.
He goes, Shiv, we've all kind of killed people, right? And she goes, what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he goes, if you think about it, the real victim, I had to wait 45 minutes for a gin and tonic. That's me in like a tough sitch. To make an inappropriate joke.
And then Logan literally just constantly going, are you okay?
That's my favorite trope throughout this whole season. Is queer? When he looks at someone and he goes, are you okay?
He goes, hey, are you queer?
Are you queer?
And then when you're on the boat, up, what do you
get? Get your stuff together. Don't talk to me about it.
He's like, I don't want to hear about it.
I don't want to hear about it.
He's like, look, Kat. He's like, look, Romulus, if you have to get your straightened out, do it. But I don't want to know about it.
I just am obsessed with that.
And he goes, what? Whole vibe. He goes, you afraid of pussy? Did you hear that part?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And Rome's like, nah. Oh, he's like, what did he say? What else did he say? He's like, can't. He says something. It's like a monologue.
Yeah, I can't remember. But mood is Logan Roy just turning to you and going, "Are you okay?" He goes, "Are you a freak?"
Also, I'm like, freak. I'm kind of sick. Fuck. I'm kind of attracted to Logan.
Yeah, he's hot. I was thinking about riding that old dick.
Oh my God. I get fill me up with that gum jar.
I literally was thinking, like, I was like, damn, like, I would fuck Logan Roy, I guess.
Well, Brian Cox is sexy.
Brian Cox is sexy, but also there's just something about like powerful daddy energy, and he's like so rich.
Everyone needs to watch Manhunter from the 80s. It's the first iteration of The Silence of the Lambs. He plays Hannibal Lecter. It was directed by Michael Mann, who did like Heat.
What?
And yeah, it's so good. And the guy who plays the dad in Fear. Do you remember that guy? The Reese Witherspoon?
McNulty?
No. I forget his name.
Oh, I was thinking Cape Fear. But...
No. But it's like Hannibal Lecter. It's basically Red Dragon.
Okay.
But Brian Cox plays Hannibal Lecter. He's not in it that much, but he's like really good.
Okay, cool.
And he's like younger in it and sexy.
I'm checking this out.
Yeah, it's very scary though.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast. Salty Utah Queens. Okay, wait, how is Succession similar to Roll Sick? Go.
Well, Mary's Succession.
She is.
Mary was
born into this life.
She was born into money. She doesn't speak to her family anymore. She's estranged, but still really powerful.
She's Logan.
She's...
And her son is all the Roy children. Who will...
Whitney with Wild Rose. That's Succession.
Her $1 billion business.
And Jen is Succession.
Yeah.
Jen is
Jen
like
and Stu.
Tom and Greg.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so great. Yeah,
like that?
Totally. Yeah, I love it. I see
this episode
it. I love
was a
it.
Little boring.
It's a little boring.
But that's okay, because we've been getting some bangers, so I will forgive those.
But they always have to like kind of have a valley after a peak.
Yeah. I just need to say right off the bat that I'm truly confused when Bravo switches up seasons in one episode.
I know. I've not known what season it is in Salt Lake City for weeks now.
There's
just
a shot
when
of,
you think it's winter, it's spring.
There's a shot of Jenny flying down the highway and it's summertime. There's summer grass. There's like crickets.
Yeah.
Wild cicadas.
And I'll never know. Never be able to get a handle on the weather.
Yeah. Then the next scene it's snow and they're wearing fur and I'm like, wait. Did you... Okay.
Yeah,
I understand
guys.
You got to clump some stuff together.
But like a little more weather
little more
narrative.
Continuity,
yeah,
please. Also when Logan, just to say, when Kendall's like, what do you want $5 billion for? To put just a small pile on a stack of other piles? And he goes, yes. Is that how much he's going to get?
I guess. I don't know.
Many questions.
There's so many questions.
We start off with Lisa. Oh my god, that dog.
My neighbor's dog is having a howl journey and I love it. Like there's something about it that makes me really happy, but I don't like thinking of him howling in distress. I think he's just a little lonely.
It's sad.
I know.
My family had to evacuate to Atlanta during a hurricane once in Miami, and we went out to dinner one night. We left Logan. God bless him. It was his last...
Forgot that Logan...
Logan evacuated on a plane. But him and Ranger, Taryn's dog, who was like a puppy, we left them in the hotel room. And Logan was starting to like still Alice a little.
He was sundowning.
And we got a call from the hotel like 45 minutes later that said the whole hotel could hear. And it was like... It's like the giant Peachtree Plaza that's like... It's like a famous... It's huge. Mm-hmm. Like a Marriott.
And classic
wouldn't expect Marriott,
anything less.
But that the whole hotel was just racked with Logan's wails. Logan was just, ooh, and then he got Ranger worked up, and the two of them were just freaking
howling
out in the hotel. So Ranger or Logan kind of like picked him in his old age. Mm-hmm. And they both started howling in the Atlanta night.
I love that they terrorized every single person.
Everyone, so we had to go back. Anyway.
Logan gets what Logan wants.
He does. I miss him.
I loved him. I never got to meet him, but I really loved every Logan update.
He was in Succession.
He was Logan Roy.
He was.
They had the same vibe.
They had
now
the
that
same
I think about it.
Kind of body.
The same face and body.
Yeah.
And attitude.
Totally. Logan was a little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him. Lisa is doing an impression of Whitney to John, which truly killed me.
Lisa, like, downloading John on all of what happened in Vail. She goes, and Whitney, I mean, she is just a pot stir, but not even a stir, a whisker. I call her Whiskney.
Good one.
I was like, good one. You're improvising on the spot. She goes, she doesn't stir, she whisks.
John is bent down and squatting, listening to her, like, almost like a dad or like a town basketball coach squatting down to, like, talk to the players. Then he keeps trying to stand up, and Lisa goes, no, wait, John, come back. And he's like, okay.
I think he thought, like, she roped him in by being like, hey, I have to tell you something real quick. And then he squatted down, but then she launched into a 30-minute long monologue. And then also
squats down on my neck.
Keeps him squatting while she takes a phone call.
Yeah.
She goes, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, Jen's calling me. No, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, he goes, oh, okay. So yeah, Jen calls Lisa and asks her to get coffee, but she's calling from an unknown number.
Lisa is sending that straight to voicemail.
One of her many burner phones, I swear to God.
Yeah, and also, like, Lisa needs to consult with her six attorneys before taking a call from arraigned criminal Jennifer Shaw.
Mary and Robert Sr. are in the kitchen, and she's telling him about how Whitney was accusing her of being like a cult leader. And she goes, I don't know, they're comparing me on the same page as Jen Shaw. I don't know if it's like a brown girl thing. And he goes, it's a Utah thing.
Ooh.
And I was like,
side note, did you see Mary's like apology Instagram?
What was that for?
It was for the comment she made last episode where she was like, I think of Jen Shaw as like Mexicans in the cartel. Like, she reminds me. And it was like an inappropriate and racist thing to say. And you saw Lisa, she said it to Lisa, and Lisa Barlow's face, like her eye, she was like,
What about when she called Whitney or Heather chubby?
I mean, she's always starting, but like, takes it to a new level of like a home goods sign apology.
Yeah, that was really hard to read and like different font.
It was like art.
It was.
That's
how you do an apology. Fuck the notes out.
Put that in the Guggenheim, because truly that was
genius.
Epic.
Yeah. Screw notes app apologies. Do like a home goods sign style apology.
Yeah, you're going to need to do like a wine mom aesthetic sign apology.
In like curls font.
I mean, they all basically have the same impact, which is no impact. So you might as well just make it curls font.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone should do, every canceled person should do a notes app in curls font.
You should just put your own spin on it. Like, we're no more notes app, but if you do like a designy thing in notes app, like, you're going to have to make the apologies artistic.
Yeah, I'm going to outsource if it happens to me, I'm going to outsource like a graphic designer.
Go on Fiverr and say, I'll pay you $5 to make me like a very chaotically designed apology.
No, I'm going to go on DeviantArt and find one of those like goth angels, like slutty angels, and just write like, so sorry.
I would do one that's like finding like an anime kind of like porn anime
hentai
of like
tentacle
a girl
porn
bending over and spreading her cheeks, but then out of her asshole is like a bright shining light, and that's like really difficult to read like text. That's my apology.
I love that.
It would be cool,
spreading
her cheeks, her puss and booty lips.
Her flaps. Hentai.
Jen calls Lisa, or she calls Heather, and
Heather's talking to her daughter. Her daughter's so pretty.
I love her daughters.
And she's like really, I think, really mature. And so Heather's,
or she's just the only person that Heather can talk to.
That's true.
Everyone else is like telling the adults in their life, and then you have Heather telling her child.
Heather's telling her probably like giving her too much information, but oh well, about, and then all of a sudden Jen calls her.
Mm-hmm.
The phone call sounds weird and like it was recorded elsewhere, like not on the phone.
Yeah, probably wasn't.
And Heather immediately goes, yes, of course I'll get lunch with you. It's like, oh, back to her old.
She was absolutely 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen wants to go to a steakhouse. I was like, I'll go to a steakhouse with anyone.
Yeah. I also loved seeing Meredith petting her dog earlier, her demonic dog.
Teddy, she's unbothered by everything that happened in Vail, and she's just leashed Teddy up and is going to attempt to take him for a walk.
Would you like to go for a walk? Oh, Teddy. And then Lisa refers to everyone as weak little sheep. I was like, all right, someone's been listening to Joe Rogan.
My queen.
Jen and Heather meet, and they're both wearing different color fur coats.
Yeah, they slap on their furs and meet at the steakhouse. And Jen goes, in her one-on-one, she's like, Heather was the only one who picked up the phone. No questions asked.
It's like, that's because it was an unknown number.
Also, she's codependent. Yeah. So, like, she'll always pick up the phone.
She's like, she picks up the phone every time she gets this. I feel like Heather, every time she gets a spam call, no, she'll pick it up and go, hello? Who is this?
It's always the warranty, your car's warranty call.
And like even picking it up and even just saying your hello, like we'll get you scammed somehow. Like they'll steal it from your voice. But she always picks up every spam call. So of course she's going to pick up Jen.
Yeah. And then when it turns out not to be a car warranty person trying to scam, she's happy to go to lunch with whoever it is. I'm also like, and when it does turn out to be a car warranty spam call, it is still Jen.
Oh my God. So Jen, but she's starts telling her sob story.
Jen's starting. She said she thought she was being kidnapped.
She was pulled over in a white van by a white van.
I would think that too, probably, if I were her.
And it was NYPD and the feds, and they brought her to like a break room. It's like some office building,
probably like to try and question her or something. They handcuffed her to a chair.
Well, then Heather goes, oh my God, you're probably thinking I need to call an attorney. And then Jen goes, no, because I didn't do anything wrong, so why would I need to call an attorney? And then Heather goes, okay.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah,
Jen literal like militia stormed her house and pointed guns.
That was fucked up.
At her whole family,
including like, her young son.
Yeah, like they looked down and there was like a laser pointer from an AR-15 like on his chest, which seems egregious.
I think that was like, I believe her that they did that, and that was like, that's clearly like,
well, there's footage of it. I mean, it's weird that they would politely arrest her but then storm her house.
Yeah, and then why would they point a laser at her, like
at a son?
Like, he's a little kid. That was really fucked.
It's really fucked, but it's also really fucked because I feel like it is like awful that happened to those kids, and it's sad. But also the reason that it's happening is from her own actions.
No, of course.
And then when she uses like race to invoke like sympathy, or she like invokes race in order to gain sympathy and like get out of taking any responsibility, which I feel like she does a lot on this show, it just is really uncomfortable.
No, I mean, yeah, the act, like her, the reason why her family was being, you know, accosted basically and like traumatized by police is because of, it's because she was a scammer. So like she hasn't, you can tell just by what she's saying, she has zero accountability for what she did.
Well, she's claiming full-blown innocence.
Oh yeah, so she's basically, and then she said she walked in and she saw Stuart and she went, what happened?
He goes, I'm sorry.
So she's, I think they're starting to really spin it, like, but now Stuart's singing.
So she's trying to say that it's like all Stu and she had no idea of anything. She's 100% innocent, but he's claimed guilt and I'm sure is about to flip on her.
Yeah. So she's basically like, she's feigning complete ignorance to what was happening, which is just impossible. And like, there's literal voicemails of her leaving voicemails to scam people.
I heard
her voice.
Yeah.
She's very scary. Her lying is very scary. And Heather's like eating it up.
Yeah. Jen goes, it's really unfair what the government can do to you and they have no real proof of anything. I wrote, okay, Jen.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, Heather also mentions to Jen that Lisa kind of sold her out.
Yeah, she spills the beans.
And so Jen is not happy.
Jen says she wants a huge apology from everyone when she's been proven innocent. I was like, well, honey.
That's not going to happen.
It'll never happen.
Because you're going to jail, probably.
You're fully going to go to jail.
Yeah.
She must.
I mean,
maybe she has enough money to
maybe she'll get house arrest or something.
Yeah, or a million hours of community service.
Who knows, though?
I mean, if she really has a crazy amount of money and can pay for, and I feel like this is the kind of situation where if you can throw an insane amount of money at the problem, you can get attorneys that can
just plant a
seed. All they have to do is plant a seed of doubt in a jury. They just have to convince basically one jury member that Jen didn't know that. It's really about just building your defense team and having it so good and comprehensive that they can just because they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that she did these things.
She did that.
Yeah. And so if they can, and when you have shitloads of money, your defense can just poke holes in every single thing.
But does she have a shitload of money?
I mean, she said that she's paying them $1 million retainer. That's not nothing. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very confused on her financial status. But
it's incredibly confusing.
It's chilling how little empathy or any kind of responsibility she has. And I get it's a legal tactic, but it's also I think just very her that she would just be how could they do this to me?
Well, it's now becoming it's now a trope of these types of women, seeing them get in trouble.
These women,
or being adjacent to trouble and then feeling victimized or...
I'm a little sick of it.
I'm fascinated by it because it doesn't touch my life in any way. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's just total, it's a character study kind of.
But if they're bringing in NYPD, they're bringing in armed feds, it's bad.
Yeah.
She's probably.
Well, she's just committing massive amounts of wire fraud.
Yeah. I mean, I feel for her children and her nephew that they had to go through that, and her family that came from LA. That's fucked up. And there is
it reminds me
there is very dark implications of scary implications. Maybe take out dark implications, Jonathan, because that sounds... But there are the implications of the race stuff with the police targeting black, you know, and her... that's there, but I think she is forgetting that it's happening because she did it.
Yeah. It's very giving me the same feeling I got when watching the Rachel Dolezal documentary, where it's just a woman that doesn't understand how her own actions are negatively affecting her children.
Mm-hmm.
And having just no clarity around that.
Narcissism.
And that's really terrifying and sad for those kids.
She's very terrifying. Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Whitney is eating Chipotle with Justin and her daughter, Bobby, who I'm obsessed with.
Love Bobby. Whitney is having a business meeting about the rebrand of Iris and Bo.
She's hawking Iris and Bo, though.
Why is she still wearing Iris and Bo merch when that's no longer Iris and Bo?
I don't think Whitney's... I think she's confused a little. What?
You don't think her billion-dollar business is gonna... No.
She goes, what's for dinner, Daddy? And Justin goes, Chipotle.
Yum.
And I was like, okay, yeah. I haven't had that in so long.
I know. It looked good. I sense a burrito bowl in my future.
Whitney's rebranding Iris and Bo to Wild Rose.
And she goes, I'm risking it all right now.
They took all their savings out. All of their savings.
To the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars have been put into changing Iris and Bo to Wild Rose. And I'm like... What could cost I know it costs a lot of money, but like...
But Laura, it's a billion-dollar industry.
Billion-dollar industry. I'm like, also, it's saturated now. So like, the break-in... I think she could be successful, possibly. And I do think like Whitney Rose or Wild Rose is a good name for a beauty brand.
Yeah, but like, it's... Everyone has... It's so hard to like...
You know what's shocking? And this is to piggyback off of your thought of everyone has, is truly everyone does have a beauty brand now. Like, I go into Sephora and literally it's every celebrity's beauty brand and no just like regular, like good, like...
No, it's all.
I don't want any celebrity beauty stuff. I don't trust that, really.
It's all piggybacking off of Kylie.
Yeah.
And like, you know, yeah, everyone, like Julianne Hough has a beauty, like.
Pass. Selena Gomez, pass.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Harry Styles has a beauty brand.
He does?
Yeah, pass.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, every single one. There are way more. And I was just like, where is like...
Millie Bobby Brown.
No, where's like Bobby Brown and like...
Yeah, Pat McGrath.
Dior. Like, yeah, Pat McGrath, great. Even like Gucci Beauty, I'd take it. Tom Ford.
Yeah, it's...
But like, stop. Like, I know that celebrities don't care enough to like make like quality products.
I'm just like, what is happening? Like, does Whitney really think like it's 2021, there's a pandemic, every fucking famous person has their own line of beauty? Like, you gotta have some kind of edge.
Yeah, how is she gonna disrupt this industry? Like, what is she bringing to the table that we've never seen before?
Her tits. I don't know.
She should do like tattoo cover up foundation or something.
For sleeve tattoos.
For to cover up your wild rose.
For to cover up your wild rose.
Or she should do like tattoos.
She should lean into like the ex-Mormon thing.
She should do vajazzles. She should bring back vajazzling.
What is that? Oh, where you like...
Where you put little like crystals around your vagina.
Oh, wow.
Like you could get back in the day waxed and then you could get like a little crystal design like on your puss.
No, I mean, she has like... She's definitely like charismatic in some way.
But like, I don't look at her and think like, God, I'm dying to buy like moisturizer that she makes or like toner.
Basically,
there's a thousand other places I would go before I would get a Wild Rose product.
I support her as a business person, but I'm like, I worry for their family.
Yeah, even Justin's like...
Also, why are they talking about this in front of their kids?
Yeah, that was a bad move. Bad parenting. I'm reading that book right now, Money Mammoth, that Courtney Love recommended. It like helped her get her financial shit together, but a lot of it is like it tells you to dig back into your past and what kind of like look back at the relationship that your parents had with money and like remember conversations about that, because that's where you learn a lot of this like stuff. And so I was extreme triggered by this fucking conversation going down in front of Bobby.
At one point they just cut to her and her jaws dropped.
Yeah, because they're basically like, we're spending your college fund on rebranding Iris and Bull.
Her daughter is so cool. And at one point, the daughter goes, yeah, I'm going to go take a shower. Mm-hmm. And just leaves her little bowl.
Leaves her Chipotle. It's like, take that bowl with you.
I know.
Whitney goes, I feel like right now, I'm really bad with money.
She goes, I am risking it all.
I'm like, Justin's like, if I die right now, we're fucked.
I hate that for them.
I know.
That's like not a good decision.
No.
Also, like,
why did just keep it going with Iris and Bo? That actually for me sounds better than Wild Rose.
Yeah, I don't get what the thinking, like, I wonder if she had to pay a lot of money to like buy back like licensing or get out of like a licensing deal.
Maybe there's something we don't know and she has some revolutionary like formula or something that's going to like change the way we conceive and perceive makeup. And like, it's makeup that is like so futuristic that we're just not even going to be able to have a conception of what it is.
I feel like it's going to be like give them La La level where you just have it produced at the same factory that produces everyone else's. And it's just like you brand it a little bit differently. It makes no sense. It's just a truly like not the industry to try and break into right now.
She should do something with like pole workout or like ribbon, like something that like kind of goes along with like her other interests. Which
lingerie.
Is like, yeah, that's genuinely cool. Like lingerie that's also like leisure wear or something. Like, I don't know. There's something... I feel like she has other interests that are like more original than
Iris and Bull.
Lingerie, any sort of like vajazzling or fake tattoos.
Something with the pole.
Yeah. Taking to the pole, stripper shoes. I mean, we'll see. God bless. Good luck with your rebrand.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Mary needs to get her closet organized.
Her house of horrors.
She has this woman come who I was like, best of luck to that girl.
Alexia truly will never be the same after this project.
It's like a company that comes in and organizes your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Alexia is like this 25-year-old like,
hey, let's see what we can do. And okay, already you can tell that Mary's energy is freaking her the fuck out.
Well, Mary looks in the mirror. The doorbell rings and she looks in the mirror and she goes, ooh, I don't look that great. And then she answers it and she goes up and she's like, all right. She goes, it's a lot. And they walk in and it's just mannequins with like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. She has so much stuff.
She goes to Alexia, it's mostly things I've been blessed with. And Alexia goes, okay.
And Mary explains that she has no family and no like loved ones. So her family is just nice things, and which like, I get that.
And busts.
Yeah. And weird little like Harlequin figurines.
Yeah. She's like, I have no attachments.
Just attached to things. But also that feels extremely at odds with like
her
Christianity.
Yeah. Well, at one point, Whitney goes, she is a woman of God. And she's saying these horrible things. And it's like, it is kind of true. Like,
didn't Jesus kind of recommend poverty?
Well, I mean, you're just not supposed to be attached to possessions.
But that's like
worldly possessions are like, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible about that. I think that's across every religion pretty much says that.
Yeah,
except maybe Mormonism. They're like, the more the better because you deserve it, girly.
But,
which I do. That's one thing I do like.
But,
they're like, shop till you drop, mama.
Yeah, it is like, max out that card.
Spend for your life.
But I think that's every evangelist,
yeah,
like hypocrite.
They're like, you know, spend,
me take, me spend,
like Gwen Chandler.
They're like, you give
to me,
I spend.
Yeah, like every fucking big Christian famous evangelist has like gotten in trouble for.
But like, how are people like not catching on to this in
Laura,
a wider way right now?
It's truly cult vibes. Like, it's just,
I know, but like, at this point, it's not like you have internet. You have documentaries. You have Wikipedia.
It doesn't matter.
Like,
did you watch the Gwen Shandlin doc?
I watched some of it.
Like, people are still in that church. It's like you're in it and like you get totally, like, I know what you're saying, but I think it's when you're in something, sometimes it doesn't matter. Like, you see everything as like, oh, it's just hearsay on Google.
I know, but you kind of have to, like, I'm not victim blaming. I'm just saying. Don't. I'm not.
I know you're not. I'm being like,
I'm saying like,
I know what you're saying.
There has to be some amount of like personal responsibility for your own decisions and actions in this like relationship is all I'm saying. Whether that is like, it's like, I just don't think you can 100% just like blame someone else in this day and age. Especially,
well,
I understand how you can get bamboozled, but also there, it's not, you have to have some sort of personal responsibility, whether that's just like, I was so lost and I was really looking for something like to fill the void or to give my life meaning, which is a lot of the ways that people get into cults. You still have to own that to some extent and also be like, yeah, I participated. It's a two-way street. It is.
No, I agree. I think that, it is.
Unless you are literally kidnapped,
no,
drugged.
No. I think it's like you anyone who joins a cult, it's like you're joining on your own volition, but it's what happens in the cult and the power of succession and like the power of authority, you know, in like some kind of organized thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's where you run into abuse of power. And I think there's...
Yeah. And I'm not denying that, but yeah. I'm also just like an especially like religious and evangelical style churches.
People want to belong. People want to be told what to do.
I know, but you also need to fucking get a grip and Google some shit.
But people will deny. Denial is so powerful.
Yeah, but denial is also a choice, a personal choice.
It is, but it also is like, it's extremely powerful and people like to be told what to do. I mean, that's why like Trump was elected, because they want like people like strong person. You know, they like authoritarian types, and they like people in evangelical sects like to be told and scared, I think. Or like there's a part of them that wants to fear the God that's in the Bible, or like be like, you know what I mean? It's like it all goes back to like the Bible and stuff.
I know, but it also...
Okay.
I'm just saying that, and I'm not trying to argue
no,
with
no,
you.
No.
I'm just I think it's bringing good up like...
I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I disagree that I don't think... I just think that like when you're in something like this, it doesn't... Sometimes Google doesn't matter.
No, I know that, but I don't accept that as like absolving someone of their own personal responsibility for finding themselves in a situation like that.
Well, you should be a cult deprogrammer.
I basically kind of am.
Mm-hmm.
Awkward.
Awkward.
No, love not, and light to not, them. Hope they fucking figure it the fuck
yeah,
out.
Yeah, me too. Lisa takes to the equestrian tracks and Meredith comes over and Lisa's like, she goes, I've been riding horses since 4 years old. Wait, are you upset?
No.
Okay.
Are you?
No. Okay, I thought that good. Was a good combo.
Yeah. No, I'm great.
Great. I like to talk things out.
I love it.
Lisa gets up on her horse and she goes, let's see if I can still do this.
Her horse Blue is refusing to fuck with Lisa, though.
She had powerful energy getting on that horse.
She did. And she has like her own horse hair just like flowing. And honestly, when I saw these two horses side by side, I thought Meredith's horse, it looked kind of dusty and like it had dirt on it. And I thought that that was going to be the one that was like a Nunca horse. But then Blue actually...
Blue is a diva.
Blue is a diva and just wanted to walk along a wall and get Lisa Barlow off of his ass.
Meredith looked incredible. She arrives like in equestrian chic. They looked like they were both in a Paul Verhoeven movie.
Yeah, they look glamorous, beautiful horse girls.
There's tension between them.
Lisa goes, come on, Blue. Blue will not come on.
Come on, Blue.
Come
Let's
on,
do
Blue.
This.
They get off the horses to have some tea.
Lisa goes, would you like to have some tea? And then Meredith goes, yes, I would.
They have tea.
And they talk about...
And they talk about the Mary of it all.
Yeah.
They're basically the conversation, like us in the conversation we just had, it was a cipher for the conversation that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my favorite trope of podcasting is when you start to have like arguments that cast members are having.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people have talked about it before, but like people, I feel like people fight today like they're on a reality show, like friend groups and people.
Well, yeah. And also people, it's like...
Not that we had a fight.
No, but at the end of the day, like, I am just watching a TV show and, like, commenting on it, what I see on a TV show. Like, I don't take it to be, like, I don't take it as much more seriously than that.
Nor I.
So, like, when people do, it's very shocking to me because I'm like, this is a show form of entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, it is not.
To be, you know.
Like, you don't need to get that worked up about it. It's literally, like, you watch it. Or, and if you're getting that worked up, like, then don't watch it, I guess.
Yeah, if you're having a really visceral reaction.
Yeah. Like, if it's causing drama with you and conflict with you and other people, you need to, like, disengage a little bit.
Disengage.
Lisa, there's a flashback to her when they all had their veil summit on the couch. And she goes, wait, so what's happening right here, right now? When, like, she got called out, which she fully did play both sides.
And but she's not used to getting called out.
No, and she like won't accept it, and that's partially why I fucking love her so goddamn much.
She says, like, she goes, during that whole thing, I felt like I was sort of on my own. I didn't have anyone helping me. And then Meredith goes, whoa, 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 whoa. She goes, I stood up for you, and I have stood up for you. Don't go there, Lisa. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening.
I don't want them to be.
They're going to beef.
They're going to beef, but I hope that it makes their friendship stronger. Yeah.
And then Lisa goes, Lisa Barlow, everyone's coming after Lisa Barlow. These girls, they count Lisa Barlow's in their sleep instead of sheep. They're counting Lisa Barlow. I'm like, okay.
Lisa Barlow haters are counting Lisa Barlow's in their sleep. She gets so under people's skin, and that's also a reason that I love her so much.
I love her too, but she, speaking in a third person,
is a true, but the queen of Sundance.
She can,
and she will.
They're counting Lisa Barlow in their sleep.
They go to bed counting to Lisa Barlow's in their sleep.
Meredith is just silent when she says that.
Lisa also just blames Heather and Whitney for like the toxic group dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
No personal responsibility.
It always goes back to Mormonism.
And, oh, yeah, I forget that she...
The outer darkness. The outer realm.
I always forget that that's like kind of the secret reason she does not like them and does not fuck with them.
She doesn't fuck with them because they're not.
Oh my God. I literally, that just occurred to me just now again.
Yeah.
Every single recording, I feel like I'm reminded of that.
They broke the seal.
I'm obsessed. She's ride or die for Joseph Smith.
Ride or die.
Joseph B-O-M. Smith. I go to bed counting Joseph Smiths in my sleep.
And like Ezekiah, the angel or whatever that came to
and the golden tablets he found in the ground in New York and Buffalo.
I'm a native New Yorker. I love the golden tablets. I love Joseph Smith. I love upstate New York. We are here. We are queer. We are Mormon.
We ride or die.
We ride or die for the seal and the temple and the sky room. What is it? The heavenly, the rooms,
astral room,
the astral rooms,
or like celestial rooms.
The celestial. I ride or die for the celestial kingdom.
You can find me, Lisa Barlow, Queen of Sundance, residing in the celestial room. If you need me, that's where I'll be. So find me, or else you can go to sleep counting me in your sleep, because I know that's what you want to do.
Find me. Find the geotag, bitch. It's at the tabernacle.
I love Meredith goes, don't go there. And Lisa goes, I'm gonna go here. This is why they can't not be best friends.
And then Jenny and Carlin go to a Vietnamese restaurant, which looked really good.
Oklahoma City has a big Vietnamese community.
Really?
Yeah. And that's like, there's so many like pho restaurants like that. And it's just
to die for.
The fucking best.
Carlin, Jenny like makes fun of Carlin and is like, she literally is like a 45-year-old woman.
Give this 9-year-old her own travel show. She's Anthony Bourdain.
She's so funny and has so much personality and is just like so sweet.
I love her.
She tries the pho and the bummy or the...
Yeah, or like a spring roll.
And she goes, needs more sauce. The woman, the Vietnamese restaurant owner, is just like, oh, okay. So Jenny wants to have like a lunch for the women to celebrate her culture and to like bring them into the fold and show them like what kind of food is in her culture and like just teach them more. And she goes, because she's like, it's different from Chinese. She says that. I think she thinks the women just think that
she's like Chinese.
Yeah, or something.
I love her being like talking about her daughter and saying she has a complex palate.
She does.
She does.
I love that Jenny has her.
I know. She needed her.
Just like
she needs to be the last one, too. She's the youngest.
And what a great last one. You don't need another child, Dewey.
I know. And all like, I like that that's just dropped now. I feel like that must have just been for the show, right?
Yeah. Maybe they like sell dailies and we're like,
Jen Shaw has ordered food for her and Sharif.
I want Popeyes.
I know. It looked so good. Those fucking biscuits.
Oh my God. It looks so, so good.
And like just chicken finger. Oh, I want it all.
Me too.
I'm going to do that this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we like get it before we pod one day?
Yeah. Let's have like a Popeyes lunch or.
Like on Friday.
We'll celebrate the end of the week.
Yeah.
I need that chicken. I need a biscuit with butter and honey.
I haven't had it in like 20 years.
Yeah, it's been 84 years.
There was a Popeyes right by my subway stop in New York, and it just the smell of it like greeted me. I was just, oh my God.
Forget it.
You're a native New Yorker.
Jen's crying and saying again she didn't do anything. She's innocent.
She goes, where is everyone? I don't have any friends.
She's mad because no one has reached out to her. But also Sharif says at one point, he's like, you don't have a phone. I think they took her phone away as like evident to like collect evidence. So he's like, you don't have a phone, babe. And like,
he's great.
He's great. But I'm also just like, damn, you are in hell. And I guess like you'll just be there because you're, for better or worse, like married to this hulk of a woman.
This ghoul.
Also her being like, no one's called me and no one's there for me. And I'm like, maybe they would be if you weren't such a rageaholic.
If you didn't hit people.
Yeah. And like throw things phones. At them and scream at them. Maybe people would come around. Like, and also, that's like a good day in the life of Jen Shah.
Yeah. And also the person you literally have struck on camera did go there for you and like showed up for you, like Heather.
Mm-hmm.
You're completely discounting Heather.
Yeah, but Heather doesn't count.
No,
she's not like hard enough. She's not a big enough get for Jen.
Meredith would be a big get.
Meredith would be a huge get. Lisa's a huge
Lisa
get.
Lisa Barlow.
Jen's now counting Lisa Barlow's in her sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sharif says like, you remember you don't have a phone, so there's no way to get in touch with you. And then he's like, my whole family loves you so much, which I just don't believe.
No, they're probably like, get away from this woman.
Yeah.
He's so, I mean, who knows? Maybe he knew all about it and was like in on it, but I don't think so.
I see the distress in his eyes.
He's a sweet man and he's really hot.
He's a good man. And just like this woman putting your family through fucking hell.
He's like thank you for getting our sons like traumatized by...
If I was married and had kids and then my partner did something to cause fucking armed police to come in and point guns at our children, I would divorce them so fucking fast. Like,
yeah.
It would be...
She's lucky he's staying with her.
Over.
She's lucky.
Oof.
But I want that Popeyes.
Yeah.
Whitney's having a brand ambassadors over to celebrate the rebrand of Iris and Beau to Wild Rose.
Today I'm having my photo shoot for the rebrand of Wild Rose Beauty.
And it's just all these like gays and gals and they're dressing up like in wedding attire.
I didn't understand
togas
at all. It was a photo shoot.
She spent 20 fucking grand on this photo shoot. I'm like, bitch, this is in your house. You could have done this on your iPhone.
I stand with Jenny where she was like, I'm looking around. I see no product anywhere.
I know. I
love
like, that. I
see like Iris and Beau. I'm like, whoever planned this, you better fire that bitch.
She planned it. She spent, that's like a year of like tuition on a fucking photo shoot in her house.
And
that
like
you
a party?
Literally could have done with a like ring light and a nice iPhone.
Yeah, also, like, for what? I don't know. This is, like, her billion-dollar business.
Heather,
this is Bezos shit that she's doing right here.
Heather and Jenny come over, and Heather, she's like, I'm so proud of her. But it's, like, tinged with, like, I'm a little worried about her.
Yeah, let's hope that it pays off.
She's like, go, cousin.
I mean, the thing is, though, there's such a huge audience base of housewives people that will just buy like one thing. And if she prices it, like if like 10,000 people buy one $35 product,
it's like LuLaRoe.
Yeah, it's just,
I mean, people love La Dom.
What's that?
Karen Huger's stuff.
Is that a candle?
It's like perfume, candle. Yeah, it's like, I think she sells it in like Barney's or not Barney's, some other
like Bloomingdale's.
Yeah, she sells it in nice stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Love that.
La Dom is her scent that she says, I'd want people to, you don't want people to know what you smell like in the moment, but after you left.
Wow, it's a linger. That's my least favorite kind of scent.
But Karen's incredible.
But Karen,
so.
like, she can have a linger if mm-hmm. she wants a linger. She can have a little lingering scent as a treat.
Mm-hmm.
Whitney, Jenny, and Heather gather on the porch outside with the brand ambassadors, giggle and drink champagne inside.
Whitney goes, "Everyone, please give a big woot to my team for these photos." Girl,
I'll take the photos.
You
pay
need
me,
to take a
pay
like,
me $100
learning annex class on just like business.
I love how she just talked about dipping into her savings and being so worried, and then just spending $20,000 on like a toga shoot with flowers.
It's really
it's terrible,
misguided.
So they talk on the porch and they're talking about Mary, and Whitney reveals that she
goes, "I got Cameron's number from Angie Harrington," who I think is that woman that
my queen
that just left and never came back.
Yeah, where's Angie? Bring her back. I demand it. I miss her. She was pure glamour, ostrich and feathers and drama.
She goes, "So I got to Cameron's phone," and she goes, and they go, "Oh, you talked to Cameron?" And she goes, "For 3 hours." I'm like, okay.
God bless Whitney for like doing the investigative work, but I'm also like, now her like getting a bee in her bonnet and being like, "We must, if we're going to take Mary down, we have to all band together." I'm yeah. like, bitch, get a fucking life. Like, focus on Whitney Rose, Wild Rose Beauty.
Yeah, focus on your children's future.
Yeah, maybe like replenish the college tuition fund and like don't worry about taking Mary down at this juncture.
I can't
juncture.
Believe she did that.
What?
Just like completely spent all their savings. On Wild Rose.
Wild Rose.
I mean, I guess she must have family money.
Or they just know that it's going to come back. I mean, she's probably getting, like, starting next season. She's doing, I mean, I believe that they have to be a little more calculated than just, like, willy-nilly throwing
yeah,
money around. Because, like, next season is season 3. If she gets asked back, which at this point she
will.
Definitely will. And
she's
doing the work
figures.
This season to make sure she gets
yeah.
back.
She'll
and also, Bravo has vested interest in Housewives brands. I think, like, post-Skinny Girl, they make Housewives sign a deal that they get a percentage of their brand if it, like, sells.
Bethany.
So, yeah, she changed everything. So, like, Bravo now is going to want Whitney's business to succeed because mm-hmm. then if she sells it to like a huge company like Estee Lauder or something, Bravo
get
a payday.
Yeah,
so it's
true.
Like it all, I believe that they have put a lot of money on the line, but I
yeah.
doubt they're going to be like in the poorhouse. You know?
No, I'm just like believing that everything I see kind of thing where
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, they're broke.
That being said, I welcome...
That being said,
I welcome a broke storyline.
That being said, don't do this photo shoot, honey.
I welcome a
honey
a flop, a Wild Rose flop.
She goes, "Mary is bigger and badder than we ever thought." I'm like, okay. I talked to him for 3 hours.
Can you imagine being on the phone with Whitney for 3 hours?
Your brain just turns like jelly and floods out of your ear. Oh, and is that when you mortgaged your house for $300,000?
The new season of Serial is just Whitney.
I went outside. It was gray sky. And I called Cameron on the phone and we ended up speaking for 3 hours. That's 300.
How many minutes is that?
250 minutes.
She goes, and Cameron.
And Cameron told me the wildest rose of a story.
Yeah, she should start a podcast called Wild Rose.
Wildest Rose.
She should just investigate people. She could do a Serial style podcast investigating Mary. That would actually be a better takedown than like confronting her. She says she's not even going to confront her first. She's going to confront Lisa.
She's also, it should just be investigations into like any, like random people. Like
mm-hmm. my neighbor, I wanted to know more about,
instead of asking
where
like,
he got his Toyota Camry.
Instead of asking like, hey, what do you do for a living or getting to know them? She investigates you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ends up being
I pulled an FBI file. I paid.
It ends up being like benign and you're just like, The twist is at the end is he's a completely normal person and has nothing
yeah.
nefarious going on.
He got a great deal from an honest and reputable car salesman.
And that was the case
of Rusty and his Camry.
Anyway,
and all
guys,
our neighbors are like, why are you talking about us all?
But I like I'm addicted to the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, let us know what you think. Would you buy Wild Rose?
Yeah. Are you going to buy Wild Rose Beauty? No shade if you are,
no.
But like, please tell us in the comments and why.
Tickets for
fucking explain yourselves.
Tickets for our Pacific Northwest tour are up.
You simply must buy them. You can go to LarsMarie.com and there are links to every show. Get tickets.
Get in on the party.
They're fucking selling.
It's going to be fab, fab, fab.
It's going to be fun. It's going to hit at just the right time where you've had just about enough of this winter journey.
And it's
not quite yet spring and you still kind of want to die.
But there's a hint of it in the air.
The light in the darkness will be the fact that you have these shows to look forward to.
And the light stays out longer.
Yeah.
Anyway, get with it. We love you.
Love and light. Bye.